Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, boys and girls. I don't see a whole lot of boys and girls here in the front row, a few of them. That's all right. I can speak to you wherever you are. Who has a number for us to start with this morning? Who has a number? Nobody wants to sing this morning? Now on the back of this hymn sheet that we sang from last night, it says children's hymns and choruses. And maybe we could sing some from that, from there. We can sing some from anywhere in the hymn sheet, but you have one? 47. Number 47. Number 47. When he cometh. Oh, when he cometh.
When he cometh.
Has one for us.
Number 11.
We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Number 11. Oh, will your
anchor hold in the storms of life when the
we have anchor that
has one for us. Right back over there. What number was that? 46. Number 46. Number 46, glad, T-I-D-I-N-G-S. You know, that's what we have this morning, is glad tidings. Number 46, glad,
T-I-D-I-N-G-S,
Okay, we'll sing 16. Which one is that over there? 23? 43. So we'll sing 16 and then we'll sing 43. Number 16. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever
heareth shall shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever.
Number 43, one door and only one. Number 43.
Oh, one door and only one, and yet it's like a tomb.
Has one. We'll sing a couple more. Right back over here. Number 41. Number 41. Around the throne of God in heaven, thanks, will many children sing. You know, that's pretty searching, isn't it? It doesn't say here, around the throne of God in heaven will all the children sing. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, will many children sing. Oh, I wonder if every child in this room is going to be singing there. Isn't that a searching thing? Number 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will then the anthem bring, singing glory. Thank you.
maybe we'll sing one more. Sorry? 39. Number 39. What a friend we have in ask the Lord for His help. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for that blessed one, our Lord Jesus. And what a privilege it is for so many of us here to be able to know Thee as our Father, Thy blessed Son as our Savior, and to be able to sing that one who is indeed our friend. But our God, this morning, we're mindful that in a company like this, that maybe there's someone here, and they don't know Thee as Father. They don't have a friend in Thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus. And our desire is, our God, this morning, that as we open Thy precious Word, that there would be some young heart that would turn to Thee. And so we thank Thee for the resource that we have in Thee. We thank Thee for these hymns we've been able to sing. We thank Thee for Thy precious Word. And we just would ask now, our God, for Thy help as we open Thy Word, that it would be for a real profit for each one of us. And we'd ask these things, our God, giving Thee thanks in the worthy and precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. I brought something along here today. There was a older gentleman at the sing last night that was playing this little thing, and we got it from him, and we're going to speak about it a little bit later. I'd like this morning to open our Bibles. Where I come from in Rideau Ferry, we have a Sunday school. And our Sunday school is much like what we have here this morning, because there's young folks in it, and there's several classes of young folks, and there's a class for young people, and then there's a class where there's the older folks, and they all come to Sunday school, and you know, that's what we have here this morning. So it's a bit of a challenge to have everyone in the same class this morning, and to try to address everyone, but we trust we'll be able to do that as we particularly seek to speak to those of you who are younger. And what I want to do this morning for the next little while is, I remember when I used to go to conferences and I was a little boy, and I used to enjoy the Sunday school. I used to enjoy the Gospels. I had a harder time in the reading meetings. They seemed to be kind of long, and you know, my tummy would start getting hungry, and I would be pretty happy when 12 o'clock came along. What I want to do this morning is I want to go back to the very same portion that we had in the readings, and to be able to go through some of those things that we had this morning, and to talk to you who are younger about some of those things. So let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've read this portion a couple of times this weekend. We're going to read a few verses this morning. Let's start from the first verse. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That's far enough for now. So, you know, boys and girls, we took up this portion yesterday, and we spoke a little bit about a soldier. We spoke a little bit about an athlete, and we spoke a little bit about a husbandman or a farmer. And I want to speak about those a little bit today. The soldier. You know, boys and girls, I have a nephew that's a soldier. He's a soldier, and he's in Iraq right now. That's where he is. And I was visiting with him right after he came out of boot camp. I was visiting with him, and he said something to me as we were visiting. He said, you know, when he went into boot camp, he had to do something at the door. And that was, he had to leave his will outside the door. That's where he left his will. When he was going to be a soldier, he couldn't have a will of his own. You know, every one of us here, we have a will. We have a will, and we all want to do what we want to do. But a soldier, when he becomes a soldier, he has to get rid of his will. That's sort of an interesting concept, isn't it? You know, I was in the line for dinner, and I was thinking of this this thought of the soldier, because after my nephew went to Iraq, he called up my brother and he said, after he'd been there a week, he gets on the phone, he says, you know, Dad, there are no atheists over here. There's no atheists. And my brother could hear the gunfire off in the distance. No atheists, none. Well, it says here about a soldier that no one warreth and entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, it takes real energy to be a soldier. As I said, we were in line, and there was There was a man that was trying to get to the front of the line, and he was sort of going, you know, by everybody, and I made a comment about him going against the current. And he turned to me and he said, well, brother, that's what fins and scales are for. That's what fins and scales were for. You know what he meant? You know, let's turn to it in Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. He didn't turn to this portion, but that's what he was talking about. Because we read about fish in Leviticus chapter 11. We don't read about soldiers there. But notice what it says in verse 9. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And so the people of God, they were supposed to eat the fish that had fins and scales. You know, the scales, they kept out the defilement, and the fins, they propelled the fish so it could go against the current. Fins and scales. You know, it takes that if we're going to be a believer. If we're going to be a believer down here, we have to have fins and scales. Well, then, you know what it says here in the next verse, in verse 5, it says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And we spoke about that a little bit about an athlete. Sometimes when athletes train, you know, they take some drugs that enhance their body so that they become big and strong, and they're not supposed to do that. And sometimes they take a blood test, you know, and after they've got this medal, and they have to give their medal back because they weren't playing by the rules. And a lot of an athlete, you know, as it speaks about striving here as an athlete, a lot of that happens in preparation. And I remember speaking to a man that was working with some young men that were training to be RCMP officers. That's what they were doing. And I was doing a little job on this site. And these men, they were supposed to train for a full year before they even got called. They would get called saying that they could enter the training session, and the training session was going to be a year from when they were called. And they had to train so that they'd be ready for the training session. And it was very interesting because I was there the first day when these men all came, and the man told me that was running this. He said, you know, I can tell the first day who's going to make it and who's not. And so the first day they all arrive there, and the first thing they do is they all put on a backpack. I forget how much weight there was on it. And they had to run 5 miles. Well, most of them had run a lot more than that, and so they all ran with this backpack on. And they all got back to the parking lot, they took their backpack off, and they all had to do 50 push-ups right after they'd run 5 miles. And they had to do several other things. Well, you know, there were some of them that were sick right there in the parking lot. It was a pretty rigorous training session. A few days later, I arrived there, and they're all in the parking lot, all these men. And there was one man that was leaning up against a tree, and there was another man that was lying on the ground. And there was another man that was sitting cross-legged, another man that was lying on his side. And I asked the officer that was in charge here, I said, what's going on out here? He said, well, this is part of the training session. He said, what these men don't know is when they got here this morning, when they got up, I told them to take a position that they're comfortable with. Take a position that they're comfortable with. And what they don't know is that they have to remain in that position for an 8-hour shift. So here there was a man that was squatting. He was squatting like this. You know, after 8 hours, he didn't have a very big smile on his face. And he could hardly walk when he got up. But you know, the training session was a very rigorous training session. And I bring that out because the apostle brings out these various ones, the soldier and the athlete, for us to have an understanding as to what it is to be a believer. So we go on here now, and it says here, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Or, as we had yesterday, a husbandman has to labor first before he partakes of the fruits. I don't know, I'm not much of a farmer, I don't know much about it, but I'll tell you a little bit that I do know. We do on our property, we tap some maple trees, and we have some maple trees on our property, and the houses, they have some maple trees on their property, and we tap the trees together. And it's an interesting thing about making maple syrup, that you don't make maple syrup in July, you make it in March. And you have a window there of about 6 weeks where the weather is just right or the weather is just wrong. And that's when you make maple syrup. And sometimes the conditions are not very good. But when the conditions are not good and you don't like it and the sap is running, you still have to get out and gather sap. You know, it's kind of a romantic thing to think that you go out and, you know, tap these trees and you gather sap. It's quite a different thing when it's teeming rain and you step in the creek and you go up to your knees in water. It's quite a rigorous thing. Well, that's about what our farm is like. But you know, I have two boys. I have two boys, and my boys always like me telling stories about them, as do my girls. So I won't name which is which. So 2 years ago, I asked one of my boys what he wanted to do, because I like to do things with my boys. We enjoy being together. And one of my boys, he wanted to go to a car show. So we got up early in the morning and we hopped on the train and we took the train to Toronto. And the car show was in a stadium. Not just a stadium, there were several other buildings too, because if you can picture, there was every car that's made in the United States. All the new models were there. All the models of the cars that are made in Japan were there. Very much of all the models that are made in Europe were there. Quite a little thing, quite a few cars. So we spent the day looking at cars. The one that interests me, I'm not really interested in cars. I am interested in my boy. We did, in the stadium, at the top of the stadium, in between where the ballpark is, and the top of the bleachers, this platform, all the way around, they had all the old cars. And so, you know, I remember when I was a little boy, and the Mustang came out with their first car, and my neighbor got a 1964 Mustang. You know, I remember that very, very clearly. And so they had all these old cars at the top of the stadium. That was interesting to me, as well as the other cars, too. Well, we went back home after a full day, and asked my other boy what he wanted to do. And he thought for a minute, and he says, Dad, I want a garden. I want a garden. That's a little different than a car show. And as you can picture, we have in our property, it's all trees. It's all maple trees. There's no place for a garden. So I thought, well, you know, the houses have a plot up the road, and they can you can go up there, and we can fill up some land there, and we can put in a garden there. And my boy said, yeah, but Dad, I want my own garden. I want my own garden. So we cut down some trees, and we pulled out the stumps, and we only have 6 inches of dirt. These trees are sitting on these on this rock, and there's only 6 inches of dirt. So we had to till up what was there, lots of rocks, got rid of all the rocks, had to bring in some fill, had to bring in some topsoil, so we could have a garden. I started to have a little bit more of an appreciation for a husbandman after we built this garden. I assure you, it's a lot easier to take the train to a car show than it is to build a garden. It's a lot easier. Well, we got this garden. Well, then you know what it says here. It says here at the end of these things, consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know, boys and girls, I believe what the apostle brings before us here in the rigorous activity of these particular three is this, that we don't drift into heaven. We don't drift into heaven. You know, when my boys and my girls were little, in the springtime, we used to go just a little bit down the road, and there was a big culvert that went under the road. And we used to play this little game called Poo Sticks. Remember the little book, Winnie the Pooh? I don't remember the story, but I just remember the game that we played called Poo Sticks. And we'd go down there when there was a rushing torrent going underneath the road. And we all get a stick. And we stand in front of the culvert, and we'd all drop our sticks in at the same time, and then we'd tear across the road, and we'd see who won. And we'd get to the other side of the road, and all the sticks would come out at different times, and sometimes Melissa would win, and sometimes Abby would win, sometimes Craig would win, sometimes Dad would win, not usually. He would always drop his stick a little later. And we've had this fun game of poo sticks, but you know, it was fun to watch the sticks drift. But you know, boys and girls, you don't drift into heaven. You don't drift into heaven. And that's why it says here, consider what I say. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee good understanding. Well, you know, Stan brought before us yesterday that there's other things in this chapter. There's a workman, there's a vessel, and there's a servant. But we're going to leave that for our time this afternoon as the Word of God is opened. But what I want to turn to now is the beginning of the chapter. The beginning of the chapter. So here we have a violin. You know, boys and girls, I wondered why in this chapter it has all these people that are mentioned. It has a soldier, it has a husbandman, a farmer, has an athlete, has a servant, has a vessel, has a workman. We don't read in this chapter anything about a musician. Nothing about a musician. What do you suppose that is? Isn't that interesting? All the way through this chapter, nothing about a musician, nothing. You know, we had some fun last night. We were all singing together, and there was some men there that had guitars, and there was that older gentleman that had that violin, and there was a girl there that had a flute. We had a good time. But you know what? We find nothing in this portion in connection with a musician. You know what? You know why, boys and girls? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord doesn't just want our talents, but what the Lord wants this morning, the Lord wants our hearts. That's what He wants. I want to turn to Proverbs here for a moment. Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 26. We read, "My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart." You know, boys and girls, there was a time when I was a boy and I gave the Lord Jesus my heart. Have you done that this morning? Have you given the Lord Jesus your heart? You know, I mentioned earlier, we don't just drift into heaven. For those who are a little bit older than you, I would say to the young people that Christianity does not come equipped with cruise control. It does not do that. I was speaking to a girl just this week, and she mentioned she had part-time work. You know, the Lord is not looking for part-time service. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants our heart. He wants full-time service. That's what He wants. Well, what about you this morning? Does the Lord have your heart? Does the Lord have your heart? You know, last night when we were at the sing, something took place just before we started singing. Off in the background, up in the front actually, were all those instruments, and we heard all these pluckings. There was all this going on. There was a big bass that was being plucked, and there was the various guitars, and they were all being plucked. And there was this violin that was being plucked. And you know what was happening? All those instruments were being tuned. They were being tuned. You know, this little instrument here, it doesn't sound too good when it's not tuned. It's hard enough to make it sound good when it is tuned. But when it's not tuned, it doesn't sound good. And I'm wondering if all the boys and girls here are in tune with the Lord. You in tune with the Lord? And what does that mean? You know, I believe it has to do with the heart. We sing a little hymn, you know. It's here in our little flock, and it says, "Harps tuned, strung and tuned for endless years, and formed by power divine to sound in God the Father's ears, no other name but thine." Boys and girls, are you in tune with the Lord? Does the Lord have your heart? You know, we're just about to pray here this morning. And I want to emphasize what we've been speaking about. Last Lord's Day, there was a girl in Rideau Ferry that brought her Sunday school class out to the gospel. And one of the girls, who's 13, the preacher said at the end of the meeting that anybody that wanted to give their heart to the Lord Jesus, that just while we were praying, they could do so. They could just pray to the Lord Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Take my heart. Wash my sins away." And you know, boys and girls, one of those girls, at the end of the meeting, they did just that. They did just that. They didn't say it loudly. Just when we bowed our heads, just very quietly, they said, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Wash my sins away. And come into my heart." And that little girl did that. And we're just about to pray now. And you know, I don't know if there's any boys and girls here tonight, this morning. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's a very, very simple thing. Just as we're praying now, you can just bow your head and you can just quietly ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Isn't that marvelous to think that the Lord Jesus will do that? He did that with me. He did that with so many here. And He'll do it with you too. If, while we're praying here, you just simply bow your head and ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away. Let's just commend ourselves. And if there's anyone here that's lost, we trust that You'll do that. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee we've been able to look at the soldier, at the athlete, at the husbandman. And we thank Thee, our God, that Thy desire is to have our hearts. And we just would pray that every one of us here this morning would be willing to give our hearts to Thee. We have such a tendency, our God, to hold back and to be in part-time service to Thee. We just would pray, our God, that Thou wouldst take our hearts, everything that we have, that we might go on our way rejoicing. We just would ask this, and particularly if there's any of the young ones here and they don't know Thee as Father, we just would pray that even now they might have the courage to ask for forgiveness of their sins, that they might be saved. We'd ask this, our God, and pray that the balance of our day would be one of profit, and especially as we now go into the very presence, our God, of that blessed one, our Lord Jesus, in His alone most worthy and precious name. Amen.